button.
Okay, that's better. Not a problem, not a problem whatsoever. John chapter 15, verse 15. I put a subtitle on this as the revelation of the incredible reality of the place and purpose of the believer. But you don't need to worry about that. John 15, 15, the Bible says, henceforth, this is Jesus speaking, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I ask you, Lord, this morning to use me in some small way. Let your word be spoken, so that your name will be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, this week I'm simply going to be speaking to you about this passage of Scripture. To let you see that this life as a believer is far greater than we usually realize. And if we can just get a glimpse of this greater reality, it will change our outlook. But unfortunately, even in Christian circles, sometimes we tend to see things from the world's point of view. Namely, a self-centered viewpoint, with the focus being upon us. Even when in service, to the Lord, often it's, what can I do to serve? What tasks do I have to perform? We forget that we are not the craftsman. We are not the potter. We are the clay. We are the tools. Mike, you use tools a lot, don't you? You've put some pipes together, right? When you grab a spanner, does a spanner say to you, look, Mike, you should turn it this way? No. The tools do not contribute to the actual plan. They're used in the plan, but they don't alter or change the plan in any way. They are the tools. They don't give you advice. You're the person that's supposed to know what to do with them. We are the tools in God's hands. We are His instruments. We are His workmanship. Now, we know about the plans, because the Lord has told us. He has told us what has been, what is, and what shall be. But the plan itself is not ours. And we must stop trying to manipulate ourselves in areas that are His domain. We must simply allow God to use us as He sees fit. Which is why every believer must yield their life to God. You might say, well, why should I? Because we were chosen. We were chosen. Now, this choosing that happened was a special thing. Firstly, I want you to know one thing, that this choosing was not by accident. It was not accidental. The Lord saw you. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 45 onwards, it's the story of Philip finding Nathanael. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him. We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. You know, he knew about Nathanael. Now, it doesn't say the exact distance that this fig tree was away from Jesus, but you'd know it wouldn't be within visual range. You know, otherwise you'd say, like, oh, you know, big deal, you saw me under a fig tree. No, this is something special, something different. Christ knew what was going to happen. It was no accident for Nathanael coming to him. Or when Christ entered into Peter's boat, that was specific. You know, there were other boats he could have chosen at the time. And your encounter with Christ, if you know him as Savior, was not an accident. And if you don't yet know Christ as Savior, then guess what? It is also not an accident that you are hearing this message. Redemption of the souls of man is not random chance, but godly choice. You know, it's also not dependent upon our love for him. Because, you know, Nathanael had no love for Christ when first approached. In fact, all we see is skepticism. When he said, you know, it was like, oh, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, that would be like me saying, like, oh yeah, guys, we found the next king of England. We found the next king of England, and he comes from Chatteris. Like, Chatteris? Or he comes from Camborne. If the next king of England came from the Philippines, that would be like, what? But, you know, because, no, there are some good things that come out of the Philippines. Like you people. And lumpia. Good things come out of the Philippines, yeah. And my little lion thing I've got at home, and the little eagle and stuff I bought there. It's cool. But, you know, out of a place that seemingly nothing good came out of, have you guys ever been to Arbury in Cambridge? How about Brixton in London? Runcorn in the north. Just some run-down, just awful-looking places. And he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael, he had skepticism. He was told that, yes, we found the Savior. He comes from over here. Like, from there? You sure? There? There was no immediate love there. But Christ had love. In 1 John 4:10, it says, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, the choice that the Lord makes is also not by our works. It's not because of an accident, it's not because of our love, and it's not because of our works. If we look at the Apostle Paul, at this time called Saul, you know, arguably, Paul would have been one of the greats among the apostles. You know, God really used him. But here it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And later on in that same chapter, the Lord spoke to a man named Ananias. In Acts chapter 9, verse 11, the Bible says, And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Ananias was a little nervous here. Can you tell that? He's saying, the Lord has just told him, you're going to go over and lay your hands upon this man. And this is the same man that has authority to take people like Ananias into custody and bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. But what does God say here? But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I mean, Saul at this time, he was not looking for Jesus. Saul was, he wasn't even in a church. He was not praying. But God stopped him, dropped him to his knees in the middle of the road on his way to continuing to persecute the church. I mean, that's about as opposite of deserving as you can get. It is not by our works, because Saul's works were bad. He was persecuting the church of God in the very act of going off to do some more persecuting. He wasn't loving Jesus, but Jesus loved him. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we should surrender our lives to the Lord. We should yield our lives to God because we were selected by Him. His decision according to His mercy. But also, we should yield our lives to God because we were ordained. In verse 16, it says, I have chosen you and ordained you. Literally, for ordained, we were put forth or put down with purpose. These disciples were empowered for a specific commission to follow a biblical direction. Now, when I was ordained at Trinity, it was with a goal in mind, which was the furtherance of the gospel through church planting and evangelism. Now, if I call them up and say, well, I've decided I'm not actually going to be doing any church planting or evangelism. Instead, I want to rob banks and sell crack. Does my ordination cover that? Am I empowered by the blessing and commission of the church to do that kind of thing? I'm seeing some shaking of the heads, yeah. No, of course it doesn't cover that. Our ordination as believers is to do that which is right. Not to do as we please. We want... we have to do that which is right. Our empowerment from the Lord comes to do that which is right. Comes to do that which is good. Not to do the things that we necessarily want to do. My ordination at Trinity, or my ordination from the Lord, as all believers are, isn't to pursue things for me. It's to pursue things for the Lord. That's why we were ordained. We must yield our lives to God. But how can we do that? How can we yield? Do you guys know what yield means? You ever seen those signs on the road, the red triangle, upside down red triangle? Means yield. You do a driving test, right? You know what that sign means? It means you allow somebody else to go through. You surrender your direction to allow something else to happen. It's a red inverted red triangle. You should know what that means, Mike. You passed your theory test. And if you guys who do drive, you should... Yeah, you know what it means, though, don't you? Yeah, you know, if you're coming up there, that doesn't mean you have the right of way, you have to go through. No, that means you allow others to go. And in this case, we're yielding our lives, not to other people, but we're yielding our lives to God. Allowing God to go through. Allowing God to choose the direction, the purpose of our lives. Surrendering to Him. But how can we do that? How can we surrender to the Lord? We surrender by bringing forth fruit. Well, how is that yielding? Well, we know from our study of the Scriptures that fruit does not come without abiding in Christ. In John 15:4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." See, we cannot be in the will of God if we do not follow the commands of God. As we abide, that is to continually make our dwelling place, making our home in God's will, we will also follow the commission that we have been given. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." See, that is the purpose for which we were ordained. This is why I am here. And if you know Christ as your Savior, this is also your commissioning. This is not something just for pastors. This is not something just for Sunday school teachers. This is not something just for people in full-time ministry. This is for everyone that names the name of Christ. This is for all believers. When it says ye, it means ye. It means me. It means you. If you know Christ, that's speaking to you. Direct verbal command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that's what we do here. Literally, we are teaching all nations. You know, this morning in Sunday school class, we had people that were originally from China here. A lot of you guys are from the Philippines. You know, me and Mike, England. You know, you're from Korea. You're from America. Well, you know, that's half the globe covered just right here. And, you know, whenever Peter shows up, whenever he's not working in Oxford, he's from Taiwan. We got other people, Ashoko, when she's able to come, she's from Japan. We are teaching all nations. We are fulfilling that commandment. I've gone from where I was to here, and we're teaching all the nations. It's just great that God happens to send, you know, some of the nations right here. We support the Kalin family ministering in Romania. Again, we are helping to teach all nations. Give Wood, ministering in Germany to Americans and to Germans. You know, I also help out Dave Parker. You know, I send him a little each month to help him in his mission, and he's ministering in Canada. Up in the, you know, just in the well-cold areas of Canada. I mean, you know, good for him. He's in Canada. Great. Every now and again, I just send him tea, you know, and baked beans. He has a thing for baked beans. It's odd. But we are fulfilling that commission as we teach all nations, going and teaching. That means all of us. Anyone who says they're Christian, that means you. That is the reason we are here. And it's to this end that God will use us and work through us to accomplish His goals. But you know, there's something else that we need to realize about that phrase that you should go and bring forth fruit. Back in our main text, going and bringing forth fruit, it is a present active phrase. It denotes continued action. It doesn't have a specific stopping point. It is a lifelong commitment. Because remember, true Christianity is not a religion. It's not something you do once or twice a week. You know, it's not something like, oh, I'm a Christian on Sunday and occasionally Wednesday nights. No. If you're a believer, you are a believer from the time you believe onwards. There's no quitting. It's not a club or a recreational activity. It is an internal and eternal life commitment to serve the one who not only created us all, but who shed his own blood to redeem us, to cleanse us from sin, and grant us life everlasting. It's not a temporary position. You know, at one time in my life, I worked as a car salesman. I did. For 2 weeks. I found I couldn't lie that much. I was, you know, just starting off with Bible college, and, you know, they said, you know, okay, sell these nice people this nice car. That wasn't a nice car. You know, because they had to be cleaning up the oil from underneath it earlier. Like, yeah, some this nice car. That ain't a nice car. I said, they didn't want me to sell you this car, but this car's a piece of junk, man. This one's okay. That one, no. I just couldn't lie that much. So I didn't work there for very long. Okay? And then, you know, I was a telemarketer for a little while. I went and I delivered pizza for quite some time. You know, I was a pizza delivery person, and that was good. People were always pleased to see me. And then I worked at America Online and for a while, and then I eventually worked at the church there in Jacksonville. Now, all during that time, my working position changed a lot. But my position as a believer in Christ and the commandment to bear fruit and tell the world of Christ did not change, will not change. You know, and even when I become too old to effectively pastor a church, the commandment will remain unaltered to go and bear fruit. Even if I'm a little decrepit, the commandment is the same. You know, whether I'm pastoring a church or whether I'm sitting in a pew, it makes no difference. And the fruit itself also remains continual and eternal. You see, these 12 men were used to reach out. These disciples that Jesus is speaking to, they reached out and God used them to change the face of the world. And as each generation reached to more and more, not only were the individuals granted eternal life in Christ, but the earthly legacy remained. Missionaries who worked their lives for the Lord with maybe even only a few converts, didn't see the impact that their work had on the nation, nor the lives that they influenced for service. I was speaking to Joel on Saturday about a man named Adoniram Judson, I do believe it. Worked as a missionary in Burma. You know, he married three wives, died on the mission field. He didn't have three wives to start with. He had one, she died, then he got married again, she died, and children on the mission field. This is in Burma, this is a long time back. And at the end of his ministry, he had some converts, but not a huge amount. But his legacy was that he was able to be used of God to translate the Bible into Burmese, to give them a grammatical system. And today, in Burma, in that region, it's got the third largest population of Baptists in that whole region because of the work he did. Now, he wasn't alive to see the thousands of people coming to know Christ because of what God had allowed him to do. He wasn't alive for that. But one day, we will see what God is able to use us for. We will see the finished product. We will see the souls that come to know Him as our legacy. We'll know as we yield to Him. And you know, we're not alone. We're not alone in this. It's not just us. Because we must also remember to utilize the provision for the work. Now, Jesus said that whatsoever you shall ask in my, ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. Now remember, this is still within the confines of yielding to God and bearing fruit. That is in our ordained task, within our job description. If we ask things within our job description. Now, you guys do some work and stuff. You do nursing stuff, right? Helping older people. So you sometimes need supplies, right? You need supplies sometimes. You go to the supply cupboard. Is there somebody in charge of the supplies that you have to speak to? Okay. You go to the person and say, okay, I need some towels. They probably have towels, right? Or you say, I need some sponges. They probably have sponges because those are the kind of things you'd use in your job. But if you went to them and said, I need a laptop computer and a Blu-ray player, what would they say to you? Would they say, oh, here you go? No, because those aren't used in your job. Those aren't part of your ministry. Those aren't part of the things that you have to have in order to do the job. So, in the same kind of way, it is unlikely that you will need a Ferrari to do the work of the Lord. You know, I don't need a Ferrari, you know, to do the work of the Lord. You know, so it's no good me asking for a Ferrari. So like, Lord, can I have a Ferrari? Like, you don't need one of those. That's not in Jesus' name. That's in Donovan's name, just to drive around and show off and get speeding tickets. You know, that does no good. You know, it doesn't even matter if he's speeding. They'll still pull me over. But, you know, if I drive around in what I do drive around in, they'll look like, nah, I think I don't even get the 60. But the things you do need, maybe you need a Bible or two. We have Bibles. Maybe you need some tracts. We're getting tracts. Or maybe we need a better church van. And God provides. You know, sometimes a better computer would be useful. And God provides. Some of you guys were praying for your visas to be extended. Your visas were extended. God provides what we actually need, not always what we want, but what is required, which is sometimes very different to our ideas. Sometimes our ideas of what we need, like, Lord, I need one of these, I need one of these. And like, no, you need one of those. And God provides one of those, like, oh, this will work better. You know? It's great. God providing the things that we actually need, because He knows more about it than we do. We must let God use us if we are His. And it's not unreasonable. And the blessings are eternal and joyful. I mean, consider the fact that God would use you in bringing others to eternal life. There is no greater cause or honor. You know, sometimes in the military, we would be selected for doing things of honor. For example, one chap I know, he was selected for the position of working on something called Air Force One. You guys ever heard of Air Force One? That's the president's plane. And that was a special position. You know, you had to be very good to be able to work on the president's plane. They didn't just let anybody do that. You had to know what you're doing. That was a position of honor. But compared to having a soul in eternity, it's nothing, is it? Because, you know, things on a plane is just a plane. It's going to break. But bringing a soul to Christ, being used of God in spreading His Word, spreading the Word of the work of the Son of God, now that is an honor. I mean, maybe it is just handing out a tract or inviting somebody to church. You know, I've even started witnessing to people after they had heard me singing a hymn as I worked. You know, and with a voice like mine, you know it's of God, because my voice, not so pretty. You know, some of the others, you know, you can sing, but not so much for me. But maybe you're here today and you can't yield your life to Christ as a believer because you've never become a believer. You've never realized that you're a sinner. And we all are. We all have sinned. We all continue to sin, to break God's laws. But the good news is Christ died for sinners. And that if we would repent, that is to turn away from our sin, and receive by faith that forgiveness of sin, placing our trust in Christ, we have that promise of redemption in the Scriptures. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, then why don't you come today and find out how much Christ truly loves you? And if you believers, this week, yield. Let God use you. God will place you in a situation that you can be used, that you can either witness for Him or do something for the Lord. Allow Him to do that. Be willing to serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for Your love and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, that we don't have to design the plan. We don't have to come up with all the things. We just have to be willing to be used in Your hands for Your work, for Your honor and Your glory. And I pray, Lord, that this week You would use us in whatever way You see fit. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.